Hi, it's Diane. It is Tuesday, October 25th, and I'm here with a noon group. I can't believe it's October already. But we've got one new person on today, and so I want to just kind of quickly walk through the outline of the call and remind everybody kind of what we're doing, because I know that there's a few kind of newish folks here. But, you know, we'll do a check-in, we'll take aim, and everybody will check in, everybody will take aim. I'll do a quick talk on today's topic, which is to activate the brain. We'll have a conversation as a group about activating the brain and the topic. As we have time, we'll do some laser coaching after the conversation about the topic. And then we'll all do our four-question wrap-up, and then we'll do a quick check out so that everybody's clear on what their actions are for the next couple of weeks. So before I kind of get started on checking in, are there any logistical issues from folks or questions that folks have about kind of getting access to stuff, just to double check and make sure everybody's doing okay? And I know I'll stay on, Jennifer, with you afterwards.
Okay, yeah, it did take me a while to figure out how to find the group again and Facebook, but I think I've got it all marked and tagged and saved and bookmarked and everything.
Awesome, good. Okay, so we're going to do check-ins. So what I want to do for check-ins is just a quick sort of, hey, I'm Diane, I live in Atlanta, I've got two teenagers, age 15 and 17, that are both ADHD, but both really different. And if you want to share a celebration, we'd love to hear that, a quick celebration or a quick sort of, hey, I worked on this the last couple of weeks and it didn't work, or it did work, or that sort of thing. So just a quick check-in and an introduction, because, again, we're still getting to know each other a little bit. So, Margo, will you go first, please?
Hi. I'm Margo, and I'm in the metro Atlanta area. I have a 16-year-old son who's not diagnosed, but is very much like me, and I am diagnosed. I guess as far as what's been going on, he's had a lot of school-related issues that we weren't sure if it was behavioral or something else, and he's been diagnosed now with some food allergies and thyroid adrenal gland dysfunction. So the celebration is that we are on our way toward making some good changes for him, and he is sleeping just incredibly better than he had been.
Awesome. Well, that's great. That is good news.
Yeah.
Some biology stuff to impact. Okay, great.
Right.
Okay. Vilma.
First of all, I'm sorry I'm driving, because I just got out of the house because my 19-year-old daughter, Zoe, was having a meltdown and not going to school, college today, and I couldn't leave. So my congratulations is I got out.
Good for you.
She stepped out of the system. Okay, good for you.
Don't let it stop your plans.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm sorry you're dealing with meltdowns again.
Yeah. I'm just here to more or less listen and get re-encouraged.
Okay. Awesome. Martha, what about you?
Hi, I'm Martha, and I have been in the program for a while, and it is helpful, but at the moment I'm kind of having a dry spell. I have a 16-year-old son. I live in the Atlanta area, and I just haven't been able to, been trying to work on communication with my husband and my son, who are both extremely wonderful people and so forth, as your people are too. But my son is not going to school and hadn't been going to school, and he's only 16, and so just trying to keep going forward and staying on the calls so that I can get encouragement and some pointers from everyone out there.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Michelle.
Hi, I'm Lachelle. I'm in the Maryland, in the D.C. area, in Bowie, Maryland. I have a 17-year-old daughter with ADHD, OCD, and possibly autism. I have a 13-year-old daughter that has oppositional defiant disorder, and then I have a 7-year-old son that doesn't have any issues that we're aware of and doesn't seem to display any. It's been a tough week right now. I guess I'm just trying to, have acceptance, and I'm going to stop trying to force a square peg into a round hole. My daughter is in 12th grade, and she just will not complete and submit her work. In an AP biology class, she had one grade, which was an 86, and she had 17 zeros for not submitting her notebook. And this is something we've been talking about for weeks. So I'm asking the school for options. If she can't stay in the program that she's in, because she's in a magnet program, if she can't stay in that program, then maybe it's just time for her to change. Or if she can't stay at that school, then maybe it's just time for her to change. So I'm just trying
hard.
And I didn't want to make any drastic changes out of frustration, but I think that I've tried as much as I could, but she doesn't seem to really care. She has a boyfriend that's several grades below her, and she, you know, it seems like we're all trying to help, and she just doesn't seem to care. So that's where I am. I just need encouragement, tips, and trying to continue to accept reality and move forward.
Well, and it's easy to kind of say, well, I just got to throw my hands up in the air and throw in the towel. And I'm sure with 17 zeros, it feels like you've hit that place. And I can I offer you a slight spin on the perspective if you're willing to consider?
Sure. Sure, I'm willing to consider anything.
Because I think that a lot of the language that I heard you use is won't. You know, it's like she doesn't care, she won't do this, she won't do that. And I think that a lot of times it's really easy and evident, and that, you know, that all logic says they don't care and they won't do it, and that it's something willful. And I think that for me and for a lot of the clients that I work with, if you can find a way to just subtly shift that and say she's having a really hard time caring about schoolwork right now.
Okay.
Because the reality is that she might wake up tomorrow morning and care again. And she might, she might wake up tomorrow morning and her priorities are a little bit different. You know, the challenges with the ADHD brain is that we know it hyperfocus is. We know that it has a difficult time prioritizing. And so just using the example you gave with a boyfriend, most teenagers hyper-focus on their on their relationships above everything else. That's a pretty normal teenager thing to do. When you add ADHD to the mix, it's really hard to focus on anything else. And so if it becomes something that's really hard for her as opposed to something that she won't do, how does that change the perspective for you?
It changes it. I don't know. It changes it. I just don't know. I guess I don't know how to help or what to do.
It's not the answer. I think that that's the piece of it. But I think that for all of us, it's kind of like creating the space to be willing to consider that there still is an answer in there somewhere.
Okay.
Leads us a different direction than, okay, I need to just give up on my child because she's never going to change. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we'll keep on that as you take aim. So Lachelle, I'm going to come back to you in a minute in terms of taking aim, but let's get real specific about what the challenge is that you want to take aim on today. Is it getting caught up on assignments? Is it trying to change your prioritization a little bit? What is it that you – and so I'll come back to you in just a minute with that. Okay. Jane.
Hi, I'm in Maryland. I also have a 16-year-old son with ADHD and anxiety. And what I wanted to celebrate was that I've been working really hard on improving the relationship with him, and that has been going very well because I just decided to stop nagging about homework. And I realized the only conversation we had on the way to school and the way back was, how are you doing this test and how was this class? And so I stopped all that. So those things are going very well. However, there's still things that are huge challenges, such as not doing well in school in all across the board. Grades are low, like B and C minus, very precarious. So yeah. It's a hard tightrope to walk when you see them struggling. And I read that, you know, not all about academics, and don't make that the like top thing. And I see the reasoning and the logic behind that, because I think there is more to life, especially if you have a child that's not strong in academics and it's been a struggle. So I try to emphasize his strengths. Okay. And so that's a good thing, but it's hard to overlook the fact that you're not doing well. Class does not affect his self-esteem because then he thinks he's dumb.
Right, right.
So
see, that is moving pieces here. Right, because you want to prioritize the relationship, and you want to focus on that at the same and at the same time, you know that kind of keeping some sort of movement or doing something around the academic situation is going to be helpful to kind of keep him moving forward. So it's this fine balance that that makes it a challenge. I can hear that, Jane. What I guess the question is, what have you noticed is different since you have been focusing on the relationship for a few weeks?
No stress for either one of us that much. More pleasant conversations. Enjoyable. He's opened up to me about things that were happening, such as the anxiety attacks that he's had in his algebra class. And so I think he can talk more to me, and we're just enjoying each other more because my whole conversation's not revolving around school.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Jane. You'll figure out the balance. And it may be, since you now know kind of and feel comfortable putting some focus and prioritization on the relationship, it might be time to kind of, in that context, go back and tackle one small part of what's going on academically. Or it may be time to kind of keep it going. But part of your goal when you first started this was to reconnect with him so that you could have the more difficult conversations without it ending up in a battle, if I'm remembering right. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how better equipped do you feel to have different those difficult relationships because you now have a reconnection with him?
I feel afraid to bring up anything that's going to tip that balance. I feel like I have to tiptoe and walk on eggshells. So I ask permission, because that's what I had learned in one of the calls, to, you know, not just swoop in, because I was a swooper, and I would just take care of everything. I'd email every teacher, Joshua is doing such and such, what can you make up? Blah, blah, blah. I'd do the whole email thing, and then I would bring it to Joshua and say, Mrs. So-and-so needs you to do this. Well, so I decided I'm going to take that advice. I'm not going to swoop. And I asked his permission, because he is in the 10th grade, can I contact the algebra teacher? Because he was having anxiety attacks in the classroom and failing the tests. And so he told me no.
Hello?
So I have no permission to even speak to her.
Well, so let's go back to that, because I think that it sounds like you heard no as a finite, absolute, let's be done. And it makes perfect sense that you would. And the question now is kind of, what do you hold him accountable for? And so, you know, the next step is, someone needs to communicate with the teacher. Is that going to be you, or is it going to be me? Or is it going to be somebody else, and how is that going to happen? You know, so I think that's the piece of this, is kind of you're asking permission, then you're involving him in a process and you're also setting a boundary, which for you, it sounds like it's it sounds like for you, it's not okay for him to not have any kind of communication. So does that feel like the place, Jane, that you want to take aim is kind of how to,
yeah.
Okay, how would you summarize that?
I would say the same things when I was writing furiously what you said, because I have a hard time coming up with words that don't make him get either turned off or irritated. So I told him, I'll say something to the effect that someone needs to talk to his teacher, and it could be me, it could be him, or someone else.
Hang on a second.
But it has
can I interrupt you, because I don't want you to focus on the solution. I want to kind of go back, because it sounds like what you're taking aim on is how to hold him accountable with regard to schoolwork, particularly when he shuts down. Is that fair?
That's really exactly what happens.
Okay.
So I don't know how to word it.
So how to hold him accountable when he shuts down is what I said. Is that?
Okay, so I will take aim on how to hold him accountable when he won't engage in discussions about homework or schoolwork.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Awesome. Okay. Jennifer, did you get a sense of what we were doing? Look, I know we kind of did a little laser coaching there with Jane and with Lachelle, but it's if you could just check in, share who you are and where you're from, and tell us about your child and maybe kind of one of the key challenge areas that you've identified for yourself.
Yeah, my name's Jennifer. I live in the Atlanta area, North Atlanta. I have a 15-year-old son who's a sophomore in high school and diagnosed with ADHD. He has an IEP for school for ADHD, a math-specific learning disability, and new this year, which it's funny that high school knew last year, which high school recognized within 2 weeks of him starting, is a speech language disability for pragmatics and social skills. And that's what we're struggling mostly with. Well, we struggle with a lot of things, but he has a really hard time in interpreting social situations or the correct, if someone's joking with him, he doesn't necessarily take it as joking.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's trying to get him to see that, you know, they're not against you. They don't hate you. They're trying to joke with you.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just been a learning thing. One huge thing, I guess, celebration it could be, that's happened within this month is we've forever since elementary school have been struggling with getting any teacher to really understand him, because they want to put the round kid in the square hole.
Right.
And that's it. We finally have a teacher this year, a Spanish teacher of all people, and she's special ed teacher, says that she totally understands CJ and sees so much potential in him. When she told me that, I almost wanted to cry.
Awesome. That feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah. So
awesome.
We had her switch to his case manager at school, and it ended up happening that his case manager he had quit. So it was good timing. So she's now his case manager and really talks to him and gets on his level. And I had mentioned that he was having a problem with some kid going into this class, but didn't want to jump at the teacher or, you know, jump
Jennifer.
At the teacher. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you had to summarize, because we're going to go ahead and I'm going to move on and take aim, if you don't mind. So if you were going to highlight of all the challenges, it's great that he's now got a teacher that gets him. If you wanted to kind of take that to the next level and say, where do I want to focus? Where do I want to take aim in this conversation today? What would you say the answer to that would be?
I guess having him really step up and take ownership of all of his assignments.
Okay.
Take ownership of his schoolwork.
Okay, good, good. All right, so let's lead back. Thank you for doing that. So we've got Jane, we've got Jennifer. Margo, where are you taking aim this week?
I was just trying to decide. We're going to be completing the part for Matthew's homeschooling. And so I think that's where I want to take aim, that he's part of that process and, you know, selecting his courses and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, and course selection. Great. Vilma. Oh, she's just listening today. Just as you, do you have it on mute?
Yeah, no. Yeah, cause I'm driving. I just stay late to get her meltdown, not to affect the rest of the household. And my mom.
Okay,
was
so meltdowns, not oh. So how to not let the meltdowns ruin your day?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
great.
It for today.
Martha. Yeah, Martha. What about you?
Well, I'm back with the 16-year-old that we can't seem to get communication going, and I'm just guilty of a lot of the swooping in and still trying to, you know, because I'm just so worried about year after year after year that he's not going, and when he, you know, he's not doing work, so I'm trying to keep up with the work, so I guess I feel like I have to back up and just stop and trying to take aim on myself this week.
So hang on a second. So what challenge are you trying to solve?
I'm trying to
in? You
resolve
want to try to
that
avoid
we're not, I'm trying to reconnect with the relationship.
Okay. And it sounds like you want to, one of the things you want to do is to stop swooping in.
Right, yeah, and all I ever talk about is school. But when I do want to talk about something else, then he doesn't want to listen, so the only time he hears me is when something has happened, and I'm like, did you know this was going on? You know, like, you
right.
really need to do this. So that when and that's okay. me not giving him, not asking permission, does he even want to hear about it.
Right, that makes sense. All right, Michelle, where do you want to take aim this week?
It was for her to be more independent, but maybe, I guess for her to, maybe for her to prioritize. She has a lot of things she says she wants to do. She says she wants to go to college. She wants to go on this college tour that's in 2 weeks, but that's on the one hand. On the other hand, she's not doing her high school classes, so... I don't know. I guess she just needs to prioritize. But go ahead.
So it sounds like part of what you're trying to do is to reengage her in something that she wants to do. Is that fair?
I think so. I think part of it is a lot of I guess just trying to make her see reality, I guess.
So that sounds like a solution. So what problem would it help if she saw reality?
That she would hopefully realize that you have to do work in order to you know, to finish high school to even get to college. So.
Or so I'm going to ask a snarky question. So what?
Okay.
So what? Is she motivated? So the question is, what is she motivated to do? And is she motivated to finish high school? And is the problem that she's not able to see the connection between her performance and her goal, or is the challenge that she's not interested in the goal at all?
I think it's the first, that she's not able to see the connection of her current performance and her goal.
Right.
That's
and that's the reality, is that, and that's the gap that happens, right? So that because the cause and effect part of the brain doesn't work the same way in the ADHD kids, they just don't get it. They don't get, oh, my gosh, if I don't do my math, I won't be able to go to the college that I want to go to. It just doesn't work that way. And so what you're really trying to do is to create some kind of motivation. And you might be able to do that by filling in the gap there. Or you might need to approach it from a different way. But really what you're trying to do is to reconnect her with her goals in a way that will motivate her.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. All right. Did I miss anybody? Did everybody take aim? I think we did. Awesome. Okay. So we are in the workbook on page. Does anybody know what page we're on this week? We're talking about 24? Activating
24.
24. The second week in October. Page 24. Yay. Okay. We are talking about activating the brain. And those of you who did not were not on the call last week, please go back and go and listen to the executive function conversation, because a lot of that is kind of a segue into activating the brain. And so in the model, if you go back just for a second and look at page 9, which is where the model is. So we started by taking aim and then educating. And a lot of what we talked about last week was educating, which is kind of understanding the executive function. And now we're at the place where we're planning. So we know what our challenge area is, and we're trying to figure out what do we want to do about it. And there are four areas that you could approach it from, parenting positively, shifting expectations, looking at systems and structures, or activating the brain. And a couple of you have talked about the fact that one of the areas that you've been working on, one of the actions that you've been taking is around parenting positively. I'm going to take us back this week and talk about the idea of activating the brain, because it's so critical with our kids, whether it's kids with anxiety or kids with ADHD or kids with anything, they've got executive function challenges, and those executive function challenges are in their brain. So if we ignore what's going on in their brain, we're missing a huge opportunity to kind of just really focus in. And so the example I would give is a client that I was working with, and they were dealing with, it was a younger kid, like 8 or 9. She had having meltdowns constantly. She couldn't kind of, her behavior was completely out of control. They couldn't even eat dinner together as a family. It was just, felt like they were all kind of victims to this child, and they one of the tools we talk about is kind of doing trigger journals, and they looked at what was going on with this child, and they realized that what was really going on was that at the end of the day, the child was exhausted, the child was hungry, and that her brain was you know, already an ADHD brain, she happened to have ADHD, is challenged, and when you add to that hunger and tiredness, her ability to manage and regulate her own moods was just like zero. And so by figuring that out and realizing that, oh, my gosh, it's about what's going on in the brain, they could go, well, how do we activate the brain? How do we make sure she has enough rest? How do we make sure she has enough food? And it changes your point of focus. And so that may or may not be important to you, but what we want to make sure that we do in any challenge situation is we take a minute and go, what's going on in the brain? And there's three reasons for this. One is to make sure that our brains are constantly optimized, whether it's us or our kids. We want to make sure we're regulating our moods. And I think that we talk a lot about trigger management in this program, but part of the conversation around activating the brain is managing triggers. And then activating the brain helps to manage, to counteract the neurobiology of ADHD or anxiety or whatever it is. And so there's a lot of information about brain training and how, eating good, eating right, and those sorts of things, but they're really kind of a handful of areas where we focus in on to look at how to activate the brain. So this could be nutrition. It could be exercise. It could be trigger management. It could be meditation and mindfulness. It could be, there's a lot of, medication is one way that we activate the brain. But I think that the important piece here is to really kind of look at what is going on in the brain, how well is it activated if I'm dealing with a challenge area. And is there something that we could do to increase the level of activation so that we could kind of take out one of the obstacles? So like the family that I was talking about before, can we make sure she gets a snack on the way home in the car so that by the time she gets home, her brain is at least is fed? So that's just one example, but let's just kind of open up the conversation to this idea of activating the brain. What comes up for you guys?
This is Jane. I've tried to activate my son's brain by bringing out protein snacks in the car and a drink. And so when he gets home, he's not hungry, and exercise, let him ride his bike or skateboard. And then, he's doing great with all the eating the food and doing the exercise. So he's got all that down, but it doesn't always relate to him, like, settling down, doing what work he needs to do. And I don't blame him anymore for that, because I think it's pretty much out of his control, because he wants to do well in school, motivated to do in school, wants to get good grades, wants to go to college. None of that kind of happening too easily for him, because I think it's hard to get started. So I probably need to figure out a different way to activate his brain.
Well, so when you look at, so what's coming up for me as you say that, Jane, is the conversation we had last time about executive function. And so the motivation is there, the brain activation is there. Mm-hmm. And what you're stumbling up against is the executive function challenge. So
is the what challenge?
The executive function challenge. He has a hard time mm-hmm. getting started, right? So if the brain, and this is a great example where, I was on the phone with a parent the other day and they said, we've got our kid on the right medication, but it's still not working. And the reality is that even if you're completely activating your brain, there's still the executive function challenges. At brain activation, whether it's medication or food or whatever else, doesn't fix the executive function challenge. For most of these kids, the executive function challenge is just a developmental challenge. So that their ability to get started is delayed, or their ability to just get started is in deficit. And so the question then is, if you've done everything to activate the brain, it may be, Jane, on that particular example, that it's more about looking for what is a realistic expectation or putting a system and structure in place. And it sounds like you did a great job starting with the brain activation piece.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So I need to look at the executive function of what? Say that again, what I need to do.
So if you know that he's having a hard time getting started, which remember...
Oh, persistence. Okay.
So the remember the chart from the last week where it was the...
Mm-hmm.
So you circled, so getting started was an activation task, it was an activation executive function challenge. And so the question is, if he's motivated to get started, which you said that he is, he's just having a hard time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So then is it what's realistic for him to do on his own versus where does he need help?
Okay.
And once you know what's realistic, then you can say, okay, does he need a reminder? Does he need a timer? Does he need, a structure that says, okay, I'm going to start my homework at 2 p.m. every day, or, what is it that's going to help him overcome that activation? And he's at an age where he can really kind of partner with you to try some different things that might help him to get going, assuming the motivation is there.
Yeah.
Other thoughts?
For me with Matthew, this is Margo. With Matthew, you know, we were looking at all these behavioral, emotional things and just kind of hitting the head with how much of the challenge has really been the nutrition part. That, you know, he's eating normal stuff, but his body's not able to use it the way he needs to be able to use it.
Yeah, and it's easy to kind of miss that piece of it.
Yeah.
So how does going back to the basics on this help you, Margo?
Well, I guess a year ago when we were going over this, I was of the mindset of, you know, okay, you know, provide more almonds for him, you know, just kind of like adding in snacks and little things that would help, and how a year later it's like so much more than that. You know, taking things out of his diet because his body's not able to use it, and providing other things that will give him that, not only energy to wake up and function, but then activate the brain and actually be alert and think through things, and you know, there's no way I had anticipated this a year ago.
Mhm. Yep, that makes sense. Other thoughts about activating the brain? What are some of the tools that you guys are using or had forgotten about? We've got my son and I have been talking about using the breath as a brain activator, particularly like to calm down, because typically what happens is not so much the brain activation to get going, but it's the brain activation to avoid the trigger. And so we've been talking about, you know, how to remember to take the deep breath and to, you know, before you react, to breathe so that you can respond instead of reacting. And that's one of the things that we've been talking a lot about.
Now, as I'm looking at the list, I'm thinking that, like when I was saying I'm trying to take the step back and try the relationship, that I could see that I probably would need more of the getting the buy-in, trying to find that motivation and that buy-in to activate it.
Okay. Well, and that's a great awareness, because one of the key tools to activate the brain is motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if you know that if it's not, once you get the biology done just from a pure brain health perspective, then the other thing that really does help the brain to motivate is to motivate it. And that can be really hard. A lot of times what ends up happening is that we try to motivate our kids to do what we want them to do. And and I think that I know that on some of our calls last time we were talking about starting where they're motivated, you know, so if you can begin to teach them this skill by focusing on something that they really want to do, and as opposed to something you want them to do, how does that change it? And I guess, Lachelle, that kind of comes up for me when you're talking about your daughter. It's kind of like, what is she really motivated to do, and how could you use that as a way to engage her differently?
Okay. Are you asking?
Yeah, actually I am asking. Go ahead and answer it.
She is motivated to shop. She likes fashion. She likes fashion. She likes things, what she likes, dance, things like that. A lot of those activities we really had to cut down because we were spending the whole weekend doing work and never even got to, mm-hmm. you know, got to dance, practice every week like she wanted to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So she's more interested in that.
Okay. And what is, and so she wants to have more of that kind of creative engagement through dance or through fashion, those sorts of things.
Right.
So on a scale of 0 to 10, how motivated is she to successfully finish school at this point?
Probably... I don't know. I think maybe a 1 or a 2. Again, her boyfriend is quite a few grades below her, and we questioned if she was purposely trying to stay at the school to be with him. So,
so her motivation might be a counter motivation, which is I want to stay in high school another year so that I can be around him and not have to be out of school. Interesting.
I mean, I don't know, but she really probably couldn't even stay at that school because she's only there because she's in a magna program. Otherwise, she's supposed to be at our neighborhood school.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if she realizes all that. I mean, or if that really clicks to her.
So how open is she to conversations about the challenges at school right now?
Not open at all. She says she doesn't want to talk about it. She doesn't want to hear it, almost as if we don't talk about it, it doesn't exist.
Well, and I think that probably is exactly what's going on, right? So that if I ignore something, my brain doesn't, because we only know now and not now is in the ADHD brain. So if I'm not talking about it, I don't have to think about it, right?
Okay.
And so... with this sort of, so this is the challenge, particularly with this age group, is that you've got a situation where there's not a strong motivation. You can see what's going on for them, and you can see that there's a you know, cliff that they're heading towards pretty quickly or whatever it is, your visual. And so, you know, I believe that there's kind of three perspectives that we can take, or three approaches we can take as parents. You know, we can be authoritative and we can hold them to standards or put rules in place and those sorts of things. We can try to let it go and let them do what they need to do and risk that they're going to, you know, end up the direction that we hope that they don't go, but, you know, let that happen and let it play out and let natural consequences happen and work if they do or they don't. Or you can kind of work in the middle and say, you know, this is what I want and what I expect. What do you want and what do you expect? And how do we kind of meet in the middle?
Okay.
And so when you think about where you're at with her right now, do you start with authoritative? Do you start with letting go? Or do you start with trying to connect with her?
I've probably been more authoritative and probably need to be more so in the middle. Because I have been, I think Jane said it, but I have been the one that swoops in, emails all the teachers, print out the email from the teacher and mark, okay, we need to do 1, 2, 3, 4, and here, let's do this tonight so we get these zeros cleared up.
Right, right. And it's easy to do because we're get-it-done kind of people, and most of us have more executive function than our kids do. So it's easy to kind of jump into that space. And if it helps to do it because it kind of moves it forward and we feel like we're taking action, how does it get in the way when we do that?
I think it's a little enabling. It's
mm-hmm.
enabling. It's also probably causing some animosity from her to me because, yes, we do always talk about what is there to do for school. So it's probably not the most effective way for our relationship and for her personal progress, but it's been what's working in order to keep her from failing school.
So it's working, right? So by jumping in there and swooping in, even though you feel like you're poking holes in the relationship and creating some animosity, it's getting it done. So
it's getting it done, but not probably very well.
So, Lachelle, what's your motivation to change your behavior?
My motivation is that I would like her to be independent without me telling her what to do. So I think right now the way we're doing it is not, it may not be allowing independence, even though I think at some points I've tried to allow independence, but then after I don't see a grade change after 4 weeks, that's when I feel, okay, you told me you turned this in a month ago. So where are we?
Yeah. Well, and so I guess the question is, what's, you know, if you know that there's a downside and you know of doing it the way you've been doing it, you know that there's an advantage of doing it the way you've been doing it, you know there's a risk of taking a different action and there's an advantage of taking a different action, how do you figure out how to get yourself from here to there in a way that feels okay?
I don't know. I guess that's what I think I need to learn how to, because this entire time I've felt like I wasn't equipped to parent a child with the issues that she has, because I only know one way, which is
do it for her.
Go by the horn and doing what I need to do and going it and,
right,
and checking it off
right.
the list.
Right. Okay. So, can I poke at this a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. So, because I think that this is a real common thread for folks, and it's a little bit off of the activating the brain topic, so I'm gonna just pause for a second. Is there any other questions or comments about brain activation? And then I'm going to kind of dig in on this one, if that's okay with everybody.
Great.
Okay. So the reality is that this, and it reminds me a lot of what Jane was talking about too, it's kind of, you know, you want to hold them accountable as much as they can be held accountable. And today that's going to look different than what it's going to look like in 3 weeks or 3 months or tomorrow or anything else. And so it's about kind of saying, am I holding you accountable to turning your grades, or am I holding you accountable to get good grades, or am I holding you accountable to sticking with a process to try to do what you can to move the needle forward in an area where it's really difficult? And there's a subtle difference there, because if we focus on, geez, she's got an F in band, and I say that because that's like the first F we ever had is in band class, but it's like she's got an F in math, right? Like, she's got to get that F up. You got to get that F up. You got to get that F up. And that's all you're focusing on. You're going to have a very different approach to then, okay, you got to turn in your grades, turn in your grades, turn in your grades, or you're turning your assignments, versus it seems like you're having a really hard time turning in assignments. What are you willing to try in order to try to get that to change? So you're holding her accountable to do something, but it's just, it's not the end point. It's the middle point. How does that shift things, Lachelle?
It shifts it a lot. It's given her the option to do, I guess, to do it in the way that she knows how, and I guess some responsibility to do it the way that she knows how or that works for her.
Right, so it's a combination of responsibility, of realistic expectations, and allowing her to do it in a way that makes sense for her. And the reality is she may not know. And I think that that's the piece of it, is a lot of times we'll say to our kid, well, what do you want to do to fix this, or what can you do to fix this? And they're like, I have no idea. And that's the place where we step in, we scaffold. And we say, well, you know, you might not start by saying, well, you could do this, 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 and this. You might say, well, you know, let's think about it for a minute, or how, you know, you always start by, Jane said this earlier, it's like you always start by asking permission. You know,
okay.
Well, how open are you to brainstorming about that? When do you want to do that? You know, so it's that sort of holding her accountable for something throughout the process, but allowing her to have as much control as she can.
Okay.
So what comes up for other folks as I'm kind of sharing this with Michelle?
Well, as you're going over it, and I was trying to think of examples of the activities, and then it kind of got me that, is it going to be the same way that, like, this program is? You don't say, well, you're not going to school, so what are you going to do about it? You start back with one of the aspects that's causing the problem, like you're not getting in bed at a reasonable time, so that you're not going all the way to the big picture. You try to start with a smaller step, or do you just leave it at, here it is, we want you in school, what are you willing to do about it? And then that's where he comes up with the possibility of, well, I'm going to start going to bed at a better time.
Well, so let's get real specific and drill in. So the challenge area that you're focused in on is getting him up and out and to school in the morning. Is that right?
Right. Well, I was saying, like, we want to get to school, yes.
Okay.
So
and
part of it is,
yeah,
getting to bed, getting up.
Okay. And so on a scale of 0 to 10, how motivated is he to get to school on time? Or get to school at all?
Zero.
Let me start with that.
He's a zero.
He's not motivated to get to school.
He's talking the talk, but he's not walking the walk at all.
Okay.
So at this point,
change that? So what happens if he doesn't go to school?
Well, this time we're going to be out a lot of money. Before, it was just he's not progressing in school.
Okay.
So, you know,
there's no consequence
not for
of not
him.
Going to school?
No. Nope.
Okay. So is that something you want to change, or is that something you want to leave the same?
That's something I will be bringing up again with my husband.
Okay.
Right.
So,
I mean, yeah, we have to have a situation, you know, I mean, a talk about what are we going to say if he's not doing it, because I have been explaining to him that he's just 2 years away from 18 and then he's on his own. And if he doesn't like living with me, this is where I live. So what's he thinking he's going to do? You know, not trying to make it a threat, although it could seem that way because he's not doing anything. It's just a matter of, look ahead.
So, Martha, let's go back to your question. How motivating is that for him?
As far as going to school or?
How motivating? I mean, when he hears you say that, what kind of motivating impact does it have on him?
Then he falls into, well, that's not now. And he kind of doesn't want to think about
so
it.
So the answer I think you're saying is that there's no motivation there.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, okay. I can't find it. So that's what I'm just trying to back up and try to find.
Right, and so that's the thing, is that some of our kids really want to do well in school. Others of our kids don't have that motivation because they don't have a connection. It's too lofty and too far away. I think about the fact that my son didn't want to go to college, doesn't want to think about college because he doesn't think he has to go to college to do what he wants to do. And it doesn't matter what logic you put in front of him, right? And so until he sees value in going to school, how likely is it that he's going to play with you at the game?
Right.
So your choices are find ways to motivate him or externally motivate him.
Right. And then, and that's one of the things is getting curious, because maybe is it he hates school, he doesn't like school, he doesn't see the purpose in school, or more likely, he's got the fear of failure, and he's the perfectionist.
Great. So it's not that he's not motivated to go to school. It's actually what you're saying is you get curious and say, is he demotivated to go to school?
Right.
And how do you adapt that?
Yeah, because that seems like it just keeps feeding itself. The more he misses, the worse it is getting. The more behind he is going to be. So the tougher the road will be, so let's not go.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I certainly haven't just been able to say, you know, it doesn't work that way. So, yeah.
Well, and so the internal motivator is actually a negative one. There's no positive motivator. So do you create an incentive for him so that if he goes to school, he gets a particular incentive? Do you have a consequence so that if he doesn't go to school, there's a negative consequence? I mean, so at some point, if our kids aren't motivated, we can't find an easy way to connect them to their own motivation, you bring in an outside motivator. So in this instance, Martha, is it carrot or is it stick?
Well, we've been trying carrots. And I've been saying that, you know, from fifth grade, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, my poor child is dehydrated and about to die because he will not drink.
Awesome. So, I just looked at the time. I'm so sorry. I'm carried away today. I apologize to folks, and I'm looking at it. I don't mean to interrupt you, Martha, but I realize that we're at time here.
Oh, well, yeah.
Poor time management here. So let's pause for a second. So I want to thank you guys for being present with this conversation today. And I want to switch us quickly to page 25 and do our wrap-up because I know that we've had a few kind of laser coachings and a few conversations. I want to make sure everybody has a moment to kind of just reflect on the call. And so let's answer the four questions and then just kind of do a sign-off and a check-out from everybody. So four questions are on page 25. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So take a few notes. I really am curious about particularly, you know, some ahas you had listening either in the conversation about brain activation or in listening to some of the conversation we had about motivation or independence. But take a minute, and then I would love to hear from everybody. At least one aha and one action commitment. Who wants to go first?
I'm Jane. I'll go first. I think the realistic action step is to tell my son that he'll need to be accountable. Either I'll have to step in or he can take care of what he needs to do or somebody else will for his class work.
Okay.
Actually, it sounds very negative and threatening, and he'll right away totally ignore me if I say it in that way, but I'll say it in a different way.
Okay. So how hard is that going to be for you to figure out how to reframe it?
Oh, I just thought of a good way to reframe it. Okay. So I can tell, or I know you've been really struggling to do well in algebra and you really want to do well. So let's come up with a plan that would help you to show what you do know. So how about either you can decide if you want me to step in or if you could figure out what you want to do, or we could have someone else do it. What would work for you?
Yeah. So you're doing.
I can hear his answer. I got it, Mom. Don't worry about it.
Well, and you know how to handle that, right? So when he says I got it, then you add in accountability. So you got it.
Okay.
Great. And I'll check in with you. When are you going to do it by?
Okay.
You know, so you're holding him accountable for doing it, and asking him for when you can check back in.
Okay.
Awesome. Cool. Who's next?
This is Margo. And one thing that stuck with me from what everybody else was talking about is just the importance of the relationship. And that as parents, it's so easy to focus on an accomplishment and how important it is for the kid to feel like they're important even if they're not accomplishing something.
So what action does that lead you to, Margo?
holding on to that as we move into the homeschooling and jump back into that pattern of, have you done this yet? What about this?
Right.
Just a really good reminder for me.
Awesome. Thanks. Michelle?
Still thinking.
You want me to come back to you?
Yes.
Okay. Martha?
Well, it was the motivation and recognizing that I guess I don't even have a clue or I don't know what would motivate him because it always seemed like it changed. Every time you get something working, then it doesn't work anymore. But just finding now what's the motivation would be realistic. And then one of the ways to set up is talking to my spouse about it. My husband has, you know, a much better relationship with him because he's not around him as much. So I'm the disciplinarian. So he's still got a little more relaxed, but talking to him, my husband, about, okay, what kind of consequences are we going to have? Or what kind of buy-ins? Are we going to try to remove something? Or are we going to try to encourage him by offering him something? And then adding the accountability deadlines. So it's like, yeah, okay, especially me, like, and I try that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave you alone. You say you're going to do it, and you'll do it soon. Then I leave him alone, and he was doing it. And now he's even psyched off where he's just saying no right up front, which at least he's trying to be honest with me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And cool. I accept it. I'm like, okay. And then the next day I'll ask him again. It's the new day. Are you going to do this today?
Well, I guess the question to ask yourself is, how's that working, and do you want to, what changes do you want to make?
I guess specifically, like, if he's going to do a small chore, like going after the mail, you know, small. And he was doing it, and then if he just kind of stopped, and then maybe saying, what happened, getting, you know, curious, really, like, what happened and why have you stopped? What are your plans? What are you going to do? Are you going to do it again? Is it something that was just going on? Do we need to change something? You know. And just talking to him about it.
Good. Jennifer, what about you?
Sorry. Is anybody still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I think, you know, hearing about motivation got me thinking, you know, what really does motivate my son? And I think, you know, it changes at different times. I mean, we've taken away the computer. We've taken away his tablet. And it just, he seems just not affected by it. So maybe this week trying to really try and figure out what motivates him. And using that motivation so he can start taking ownership of his schoolwork.
Mm-hmm. And it might be interesting to find out kind of what does he want. Does he want to do well in school but think that he can't? Is he given up? Does he still have, you know, some glimmer of hope in there that you can connect into?
I think
what happens a lot of times is they get – go ahead.
He does want to do well. But he's been told, and this goes way back to like fourth grade, by a teacher telling him that he's nothing, that he's not going to get anywhere in life. And she might as well just start his schooling over again and send him back to kindergarten. I mean, that had a tremendous effect on him. And he still thinks that way somewhat, that, you know, he's nothing. He can't do anything. And we're trying to work with him to see that that's not true. And with his new caseworker, his Spanish teacher, we're trying to have him look and see and just think about different, you know, that that's not the appropriate thinking. You know, that you've got to let that go. That teacher was way out of bounds and had no right to say that, but he needs to let it go.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how they hang on to that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
So, okay, so what? So you're going to focus on what motivates him. Is there a particular action, Jennifer, you're going to take?
I don't know. I guess just try and talk to my husband, and we'll try and figure it out what is going to help motivate him. See if we can come up with several different things.
Okay. Good. Good, good. Michelle, back to you.
What I want to work on is being in the middle between not being authoritative and not just letting go. And the action I'll take is to have a conversation so that we could both see what she's interested in doing to do it, in order to for me to let go, because she wants me to let go, and I would like to. We both want the same thing. We just need to see how to get there.
Right, right. And I think that's beautifully said. It's kind of like, how do you find the commonality between the two and meet in the middle?
Right.
Love that. Cool. All right, I think Vilma dropped off. Did I get everybody with the checkout? Thank you for letting us go over today.
Yeah.
Jennifer, you want to stay on for a second, and I'll make sure you got what you need in terms of getting them logistically? Thank you, everybody else.
Sure. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.